You got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. I've just been trying to allow the Holy Ghost to work in my life to show me what to preach. To be honest with you, I wasn't going to preach this one until tonight. But the music, the tone of the service, the Holy Ghost wants me to magnify Jesus. Amen. By the way, you can't go wrong magnifying Jesus. He said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, He'll draw all men to Him. I'm glad to magnify Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus in the morning. It's Jesus in noonday. It's Jesus in the evening. It's Jesus all day long. Praise God. He is the best thing that happened to me. Boy, I've had a lot of great things happen to me. But I want to tell you that January 31st, 1973, the high sheriff of heaven came down and arrested me and saved me. And I don't have no regrets. Now, I regret myself once in a while. But I want to tell you, I don't regret receiving Him as Savior. I don't regret the lifestyle that I've lived. I don't regret the blessings that I have. My God, God's been good to me. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verses 23 through 27. Now, what I want you to do, if you carry a Bible, what I want you to do, every place I tell you to go, go with me. Because I'm going to magnify Christ. I'm going to magnify one thought. And it's an awesome thought. Chad and I have been talking about this thought. It's an awesome thought. Hebrews 7:23. If you're sitting there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, I like that. Because he continued forever. Have an unchangeable priesthood. I like this. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that comes unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once. Let me say it again. For this he did once. Well, let me do it again. For this he did once when he offered up himself. I've got that on my mind. I'm going to magnify Christ. Boy, and by the way, there's a lot of preaching going on today that's me preaching and church preaching. But I want to tell you, if we're ever going to have a movement of God, we're going to have to get back on the Him preaching, on Jesus preaching. Because listen to me, He's the only one that can fix your problem this morning. I don't know all that I should know about offerings. And I'm not going to preach on giving, though you might say, time I get done, he preached on giving. I'm not going to preach on giving. We done took the offering. But I'm going to magnify this thing about the offering. I've got that on my mind. And the Bible doesn't even have a lot of examples, but it has some. The Bible tells us to honor the Lord with our first fruits. By the way, how many believe we ought to do that? I believe we ought to bring our first fruits to God. So what I want to do, I think I want to be your usher. And I want the Holy Ghost to be a guide. And I'm going to take you through the Bible and show you about four offerings. And then I'll climax it with what I read here. So will you go with me to the book of Exodus, first of all. If you have your Bible, stay with me today. I'm going somewhere, and when I get there, you're going to like it, okay? Exodus chapter number 36. If you're there, say amen. Come on now. Exodus, y'all got to follow. Exodus 36. That's in the Old Testament. If you're there, say amen. The children of Israel were a redeemed people. How many glad you're a redeemed people? And by the way, if you're a redeemed people, you ought to be a worshiping people. Hey, I don't give you much when somebody says they're redeemed, but they're not a worshiping people. I thank God redeemed people are worshiping people. Redeemed people love God and want to tell everybody about God. Say amen right there. But in this passage of Scripture, God is going to worship with them, and they were going to build the tabernacle. And I want to show you the commandment of building the tabernacle. And I want to tell you how this decided. First of all, I want to talk about society's offering. This Israeli society, I want to talk about their offering this morning. And building the tabernacle. What they built the tabernacle for, to come and worship God. And I want you to look with me, if you got your Bible, look at verse number 30, verse 3. Are you there? And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him three offerings every, what? Morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the works of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed through the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Somebody help me preach right there. Here's what it said in verse 5. He said it had much more. And I'll tell you what, Moses must not have been a Baptist. Because he quit the offerings. He restrained them. Stop! It'd probably be a real... If I do that, y'all probably say he lost his mind. Amen right there. Say amen. And then he said, hey, you can't do anymore. Hey, too much! What would y'all do if I got here on Sunday morning and said, boy, we had so much offering today that y'all don't have to give for 4 more weeks. But what was significant about that offer? Four things. And I'm going to magnify these four things for four different thoughts. First of all, the size of this offering. Well, it made it significant. They talked about piles of gold and of silver. And if I read it right, they had 2,000 pounds of gold, 7,000 pounds of silver, and 5,300 pounds of brass. If you were calculating that on your computer for today, I'll tell you what the size of the offering was. It was a $57 million offering. How many of y'all raise your hand and say, that's a big offering? Somebody tell me, that's a big offering. Not only do I see the size of the offering, but I see the sacrifice of the offering. Let me tell you something. These were rich people. These were slaves that just came out of Egypt. Am I preaching right there? They were slaves. They weren't the Bill Gates of the world. They weren't Warren Buffetts. They were just little slaves. Little nobodies. But you know what they thought? I'm going to build the house of God. I want to be in a place where I can worship God. Such sacrifice. But I tell you, it was a historic offering. Then look at chapter 35. Just back up a minute. Not only the size of it, the sacrifice of it, but also the spirit of it. Whew. Look at verse 30, chapter 35. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it. Look at verse number 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whom his spirit made what? Thank God for offerings that are given in the right spirit. And then the supply of it. It was enough. It was enough. But let's go on. I'm going somewhere. Don't get nervous. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to preach on Chad. I got to preach on. Turn now. Go on. Come on. I'm going somewhere. And I want y'all to go with me. Turn to 1 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament also. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. If you get there real quick, say, oh, excuse me. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. When you get there, say amen. Dear God, are y'all got a King James Bible? If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now look at 1 Chronicles chapter 22. First of all, Chad, I say it's a saddle offering. But now I want you to look at a significant offering. Significant. Now they're not building a mobile building now. They're going to build a permanent building called the temple. And look at verse 14, if you are there. Now behold, in my trouble, I had prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight for its abundance. Timber also, stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereof. Whew. My God, how many believe that's historic? You said, hold a minute. Preacher Smith, why is this historic? First of all, because of the size of it. 112 tons of gold. 260 tons of silver and brass. If you did a little modern day Jared Shoemate computer, you know what you'd come up with, my friend? You'd come up with the size of an offering of $867 million. How many says, dear God, that's historic? Man, if we get 10,000, we feel like we're in the honey. $867 million. But I want you to know something. Notice the sacrifice of it. See, first of all, it was a nation. Now it was the man. One man. David. And that's significant. He gave 800. And $67 million. Now hold a minute. But what made this really significant? The spirit he gave it in. Hold on. You know, a lot of people, they want their name on everybody, on everything. Look at me, I've done this. Look at me, how many people I won to Christ. Look at me, how much money I give. Look what I did for this church. Look around at this church and look what I've done for this church. Hold on a minute. Chad, David gave this offering and he wasn't even allowed to build it. Somebody help me preach right there. David gave this offering and he wasn't even going to get to worship in it. something. Boy, isn't that good right there? Hold a minute. You know, a lot of folks, they get out and they say, boy, I just, you know what? Hey, if you ever want to go with Jared, what's Jared count money ever? I don't do it. I every once in a while I'll go up there because I'll get in the flesh if I do it. People, they'll fold up a dollar bill in 14 different ways. You can tell they's really in a good spirit. Somebody say amen. Years ago, I've heard stories like this, and I've had my own. Years ago, we took up offering here, and every church has done this. Everybody's done this. And every preacher's had this done to them. I had it done, and no others had it done. But I've had people come up to me and say, well, have you taken this offering up? I'll match it. I'll match it. Well, I did that. I'm not the only one ever done that, but I done that years ago. We had a need in the church. Then we took an offering. It was $5,000 we took up. I went over and we announced the offering. Went over and told everybody. Well, I didn't see that guy back in church ever. He really kept his word, didn't he? Amen. Let me tell you what. Thank God for a person that gives something in the right spirit. Somebody say amen. I'm still going somewhere, Chad. I think I'm almost ready to arrive. This jet's getting off the ground. Let me give you a third one. This quickly. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. If you're there, say amen. This is getting good. I'll tell you what, I'm not ready to get happy. You're going to get happy in a minute. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. I just want to take you somewhere. Go over to 2 Chronicles 24. Not only was it a societal offering. No, not only was it a significant offering. But I want to tell you about a special offering. The Bible says this. In verse number 4, are you there? And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of God. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year, what? To year. Now y'all got your Bible? Look what the Bible said. Look at the last part. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. You know what they say? It's a bunch of preachers. We ain't doing it. You know what, Jabal? What a special offer. You know what Joash did, Brother O'Brien? He said, okay, you outfit. You ain't worth a nickel. He went out, and this is a famous story, and got a box. We call it Joash's box. And if they weren't going to do it, Brother Jared, he put a box out there. And every morning they filled it up, and every evening they filled it up. And the Bible says that it was enough. Somebody say amen. It was enough. They filled it up twice a day. Hey, by the way, they use boxes. Hey, we use offering plates. And one of these days I'm going to bring some Kentucky Fried Chicken boxes and pass them out and see if we can fill them up. But they use boxes. And look at the sacrifice of it. It was something special. And look at verse 10. Look at the spirit they done it. And all the princes and all the people, what? Rejoiced. But I tell you what. You people, I watched you today. You did a little bit of shouting during the singing. And every once in a while, you'll get up and shout a little bit in the preaching. But I ain't never seen nobody shout at an offering. I'm talking about giving an old hallelujah, praise God, thank God for the offering. And I tell you, in verse 12, verse 14, it was so much much that it was so much, it was more than enough to paint it, to get it all, get the temple back in shape. And it was so much that they bought some vessels. They bought a bunch of that. Well, thank God that God supplied the need.
Amen.
Now, have I laid enough foundation? Turn to Hebrews. And I'm done. Whew. Turn to Hebrews. What have we said so far? We had a societal offering. We had a significant offering. We had a guy come bring a box out. And had a special offering. But let's read those verses again. Chad, I'm about to jump out of my scheme right here. Y'all back to Hebrews 7? Raise your hand at me if you're there. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. I like this. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Turn to Hebrews 10 for me. Just one more little reading. Then I'm going to finish in a little while. Hebrews 10 and 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared. Look in Hebrews 10:10. By which will we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all.
Amen.
Verse 12, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Thank God for the Israeli offering. Thank God for David's offering. Thank God for Joash's offering. But fourthly, I want to talk to you and magnify the supreme offering of Jesus Christ. What an offering. This wasn't money. This wasn't gold. This was himself. And you know what the Holy Ghost said? Write that down. Oh, Lord God. You said, what made that offering so good? What made it, hey Ray, what made it so wonderful? The size of it.
Amen.
He didn't bring a cherubim. He didn't bring gold. But he brought himself. No wonder John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. No wonder Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No wonder Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The Bible said, greater love than hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, ye are my friends. What a great sign. God sent his Son. Lord God, and how about the sacrifice of it? Listen to this. He left the portals of heaven, the portals of glory, and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made likened unto man. Well, glory. Well, there's a significant... Boy, I'm coming down here. I'm going to get happy, so I need to give her some run and spell here. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew that says it all about his sacrifice. It says, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went a little further.
Amen.
He said, where did he come? He came from glory down to this globe. Oh, glory. He came from glory down to this globe. But the Bible said he went a little further. And then he went from this globe. And by the way, there are a whole lot of people wanting to get from this globe to glory. But he came from glory down to the globe. But he went a little further. And then he went to Gethsemane. And the Bible said that his sweat was as of great drops of blood. They tell me when that happens to someone, there is something happened to you in your cardiac, in your heart, and your heart actually ruptures. Jesus Christ laid it all down. And he didn't call forth angels. Hold a minute. Hold a minute. Not only did he come from glory to the globe, he went a little farther. And then he went to Gethsemane. But he went a little farther. Then they took him and they escorted him to Pilate's hall, to a place called Gabbatha, the place of the payment. And there he was mocked. There he was ridiculed. There he was smitten for you. Dear God, but he went a little farther. He not only came from the globe to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, but he went into a place called Golgotha, and he reached out his arms and said, I love you, I love you, I love you, and he died for your sins. Man, I'm about to get wrapped up now. Thank God for a Christ that goes a little farther. Hold it, that wouldn't have got the job done, though. See, he even went a little further. He went to the grave. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But I'm glad on the third day. He arose. And he's alive. And he bore my sin. How many of y'all ever been on a round trip to anywhere? Well, Jesus went on a round trip. He came from glory to the globe, to globe, to Gethsemane, to Gethsemane. Lord, I can't hardly stand myself right now. From Gethsemane to Golgotha, from Golgotha to the grave, and then the Bible said they went back to glory. And he's on the right hand of God making intercession for you right now in glory. Can I have just a little bit of time? I want you to notice the spirit of it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What was the spirit of it? He loves me. It was a spirit of forgiveness. It was a spirit of mercy. He looked down at you when you were on your dope, in your drugs, having your adulterous affairs, wicked as a devil, and said, I love you. Mm-hmm. No wonder Charles Frederick Weigel, in just a short amount of time, wrote this famous song, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And then the supply of it. You say, what will it do for me? Well, can I name three or four things? Every sin you ever committed will be forgiven. And I'm glad that God forgives. He puts a no fishing sign out there. You can't get them back. I like this one here. When God supplies our need, He welcomes us in the family of God. When God supplies the meat, He said, you're not going to hell now, you're going to heaven. I was hell bound with a hammer down, but now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. I've got the unction. The Bible says I'm even already glorified. Woo! And then He just gives you eternal life. Somebody, I'll get y'all this. If there's any Armenians here, I'm going to blast you right out of your seat. You say, what's an Armenian? So if you're in here believe you'd be saved and lost and saved and lost, that's a heretic doctrine. There ain't no truth in it. I'm going to tell you how great He is. He gave me eternal life. And by the way, eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life started when you trusted Christ. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them is greater than all. But I'm ready to jump out right here. And I and the Father are one. What a supply. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here lost, He's already paid the price. He's already died for you. All He wants to do is magnify His, manifest His love in your life. All He wants to do right now is forgive your sin. All He wants to do is welcome you into the family. And all He wants to do is give you eternal life. And you can't buy that anywhere. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. What an offering. The supreme offering of Christ. You're here this morning. You have nothing to give. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. But there was one that died for you. I wonder how many right now say, preacher, men. I'm rejoicing right now because I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm saved. Preacher, I know I'm not going to hell. Preacher, I know this because I have eternal life through Christ. How many of you right there, right now, raise your hand and say, I know that. Rejoice a little bit with it if you really know. Praise Him. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I've seen some people here. You couldn't raise your hand. Preacher Smith, I couldn't raise my hand. And I never realized what He really done for me. He done it all for me, didn't He? I want to tell you what, His grace this morning will be able to transform your life. How many of you couldn't raise your hand to say you're going to heaven? But surely you want to. And surely you believe what He done for you was wonderful. I wonder how many here that couldn't raise your hand and say you're going to heaven, but say, Preacher Smith, before I die, I want to know it. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Just raise your hand and say, pray for me. God bless that hand. Somebody else. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, look what He done for me. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Somebody else. Your life's a mess. You've tried everything. And nothing's worked. Why not try Him? Why not allow Him to save you this morning? If you'd like to have that happen in your life, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me? You know God's speaking to you. Them tears in your eyes. That your heart beating fast. That's God speaking to you. I wonder how you just raise your hand. Somebody else. Say, pray for me, preacher. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Father. Oh, I pray, God, that the supreme offering of Christ would manifest Himself to this people. And God, You'd touch them and help them. Come around this altar. And there's some Christians here this morning. Lord, they drifted away. And maybe some Christians here this morning. It's been a while since they just come to the altar and said, thank You for what You did. And came to the altar and worshiped You for what You did. I pray that there'll be Christians all this house will come around this altar and magnify what You've done for them. And thank You, Lord. I pray, God, You'll touch now in Jesus' name. For His sake. Amen. Stand with me. If you're a Christian and you just like to praise Him and thank Him, you ought to be in the altar. If you're unsaved, come up. We've got altar workers. That's right, Christians. Come on up. My God, I would advise you. Man, are you thankful for what He's done? Remarkable what Christ done. Just about you.